John chapter 1, beginning at verse 35. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is, the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which, when translated, is Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here is a true Israelite, in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree, before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree." He then added, "I tell you the truth, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man."
Tonight we'll be looking at very short topic of each one, reach one. It's our theme for the year, and we're just coming back to it because we can sort of get unfocused, and so that's what we're looking at. Christians have the most beautiful story to tell, the story of God's love for humanity. And this week we have told that lovely story. This week in Quack, we've seen a wonderful outpouring of the Holy Spirit, a team of about 135 adults and teenagers, with 404 children in this year's Quack. Friends, this year, many people were impacted for Jesus. Many people were reached. God did an extraordinary thing through ordinary people like you and me. And when Jesus was calling his disciples to himself, he used ordinary people like us. Our talents and passions, but mostly through our relationships through family and friendships. These were the main means by which God drew people to himself. Let's have a look at that passage that Daniel just read to us from John chapter 1. This passage gives some brilliant examples of people who come to hear and be challenged by Jesus. Let's go through some of those people. Andrew and Simon were brothers and followers of John the Baptist. And when Andrew saw that Jesus was the Messiah, the first thing he did was to tell his brother. His brother, Simon Peter, became a leader of the church, and he was brought to Christ by Andrew. What about Philip? Now, we don't know much about Philip's background, except that he lived in a town called Bethsaida, and Philip would have noticed a couple of his mates from Bethsaida, Andrew and Simon. He would have known the character of these men and would have known that they too were once disciples of John the Baptist. And as he sees them this time, he sees them with Jesus. They now have become Jesus' disciples. They now are his followers. We don't know much of we don't know much about what Philip thought of Jesus prior to this. But we know that in his public ministry, Philip came to love and follow Jesus. But in Philip's mind, he saw Andrew and Simon, and this was a good, he saw some mates from his own town. This was a good recommendation for him. And Andrew and Simon, no doubt, would have told Philip that Jesus was the one that John the Baptist just said in a few verses or a few days before, "Behold, the Lamb of God." In fact, Philip came to see that Jesus was the long-promised Messiah, the one that the Old Testament spoke about, the prophets would come. And Jesus approaches Philip, probably after some introductions and hearing that what Jesus was saying. And we see something quite extraordinary. We don't see it very often, but Jesus invited Philip. "Philip, follow me." And he did. The penny dropped. And, "Of course I will follow you, Jesus. There is no one else to follow." Philip immediately followed Jesus. Immediately. Well, what about Nathanael? We presumed that Philip didn't waste any time and found Nathanael. He says, "We," and speaking of his mates as well, "we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Just like Andrew sharing with Simon the good news about Jesus, Philip does the same with Nathanael. He probably would have said, Simon and Andrew, well, we found the Messiah, the long-promised one. And in verse 46, we read, he says, "Nazareth. Can anything good come from Nazareth?" No doubt Nathanael was skeptical as to whether Jesus was the Messiah. And that one-horse town of Nazareth, can God work through that remote backwater in that little village in Israel? There was only about 300 people in that town, and most of them lived in caves on the outskirts of that town. Well, just come and see. Just come and see, were Philip's words. In other words, see for yourself. See for yourself. Don't take my comments. Taste and see if he is the one. Taste and see if the Lord is good. Don't let your prejudice or skepticism hold you back from seeing and experiencing this good news for yourself. Friends, we all need to be doing that with Jesus. Whether you've grown up as a Christian or whether you've not yet come to follow Jesus, we all need to taste and see and make our own decision to follow him. You and I don't need to be eloquent speakers or evangelists. Like Philip, we can invite others. You and me, can invite others to an event or to church or to hear a special speaker here or at school. We just need to be like him. And ask, look, check it out. See for yourselves. We could refer to them a book or refer to a web page. But we need to be doing the same thing and inviting others to taste and see. The next thing we read is that Jesus saw Nathanael and said two things. First, he called Nathanael a true Israelite, whom there is no guile. And the second, he told Nathanael that he was sitting under a fig tree. Well, Jesus said to Nathanael that he was a faithful man of God who was looking for the promised Messiah to come. And the fig tree, on the other hand, was a place of rest and comfort, we know in the Old Testament. The fig tree was a place where one went to pray and had hope and expectation. And Nathanael was obviously a man of God, and he sat under that fig tree praying that the Messiah would come. And he did it regularly. So in effect, Jesus is saying to Nathanael, I know what's on your heart. I know what's on your heart. I know you've been praying for the Messiah. I know you want God's kingdom to be restored. Jesus greeted Nathanael unexpectedly by speaking directly to what was most on his heart. Jesus immediately got past the skepticism to encounter the core issue for Nathanael. Jesus didn't play games, but penetrated to his yearnings that Nathanael had. His greatest yearnings. And Nathanael, he responds simply with faith and joy. He told Jesus, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel. He did this switch from being a skeptic to be an earnestly follower of Jesus. Jesus touched him, spoke right to his very needs, and he followed Jesus. Jesus gets past his defenses and speaks to his longings. And Jesus gets past our walls and our defenses to touch us where we most need it. You see, we know that God calls people to himself, to follow him. We know that. John the Baptist prepared and introduced Jesus to Andrew. Andrew went straight away and showed Simon Peter who Jesus was. Philip was a friend of Nathanael and was from the same town as Philip and introduced Jesus with his friends Simon and Andrew. It's sort of a connection. I'll go tell my mates or my family members about Jesus. And when we reflect upon the means by which these people were introduced to Jesus, they didn't have to have a PhD. They didn't have to be smart or clever. It was probably just through a good relationship that you had. And when we think about it, if you are a Christian tonight, you probably became a Christian through a couple of means. The first mean was probably means by which you grew up in a Christian family. And whether your parents or family members, they nurtured you in your faith in Christ. And Andrew, he was a good brother to Simon Peter because he brought him to Jesus. Just like some of you in your family have been brought to Jesus by your family. The second way it could be was through friendships for us at work or at school or at sport or in our neighborhood, where like Philip, when he said to Nathanael, just come and see. Come and see who Jesus is. Come and see. And we might have taken up that invitation to come and see at a meeting and heard about Jesus. You see, Nathanael knew Philip, Andrew, and Simon, and he trusted them and valued them. So I just want to say, an invitation is a very valuable and powerful thing. It has significant influence. I know people can say no to an invitation. We've all felt the pain of someone letting us down on an invitation. It hurts. It hurts. But don't let that pain or apprehension stop us from doing God's work. Like, let me ask you a straight question. Don't answer it out loud. When was the last time you invited a member of your family or a good friend of yours to come to church on Sunday night? When was the last time you invited them to a close friend to come to youth life on Friday night. This is the paradigm. This is the method by which people come to Jesus. By connectedness, by relationships. And if you're saying in your head, heck, it wasn't very often, or I haven't done any of that, I haven't done that before, let me say, church is not a comfortable club for you and for your Christian friends. It isn't a recluse where we bring out our own special songs and music and our friends. It's not like a P&O cruise. It's more like a hospital ship where we have a purpose. And it's not about us. It's about serving God and others. And the church is about engaging in worship with the living God. And it's presenting Jesus as we do every Sunday night. The way we are to live, the way that we are to love, and the way we to know, how to live in this life as we anticipate the next. And I want to invite you into a way of changing people's lives, especially those people you love, your family and your friends and those who are near to you. I would love this church to grow, not because we're into growing empires. Friends, we are growing, we want to give growing God's honour. And the best way we can, do that is by being sincere and asking people to come and see and join us. I'd love to see this Sunday night church grow to 180 people. Wouldn't that be good? More people come to know Jesus and worship Him and serve Him. What an impact that would make. And yet, let me describe the area we live in. Just step out of, our own little sort of world we live in and see the immediate area. Our own backyard here at Life Anglican Church is nearly 100,000 people. 100,000 people who live with us. Now, just so you know, we're just a normal church, but the average Anglican church in Sydney has an area of 19,000 people. So we live in an area that is five times more the population of the average Anglican church in Sydney. And what about the growth in our area? There are about 20 new houses built over there every week. There are streets I have never driven down, and nor have you. Steve Reimer might have, but most of us haven't. This place is growing by the week. In 14 years' time, I know that might seem an eternity to you, but 14 years' time, there's going to be nearly 300,000 people in our backyard. 300,000. I can't picture that, so let me try and help you. 300,000, by the way, is 15 to 16 times the average Anglican parish in Sydney. The population of Wollongong, 80% the size of Canberra, 60% the population of Tasmania. Okay, that mightn't be a recommendation, but there's a lot of people going to live in this backyard. There's a huge number of people live now, like 100,000 people. And there's going to be a huge number of people joining us over the next few years. We see a school being built down the road here, another high school. It's just going bigger and bigger. And what are we doing about it? It's our watch. It's us. We live here. We're the ones. It's our backyard. We are to connect with those around us. And so, friends, I need to say it up front, and it's a thing that we struggle with. We cannot be complacent here. People are facing an eternity without Jesus. And these are our immediate neighbours. And we need to focus ourselves and our resources in reaching them, the lost. Now, it's the only time I've ever heard this phrase said properly. For God's sake, invite them to church. For God's sake, talk to them about Jesus. For God's sake, invite them to youth life or some event that we have. And for God's sake, invite them here to Sunday night church, because that's where they can meet Jesus. It's important for them that they find Jesus. And we can't keep making excuses. No, we can't. We're doing God's work, something far greater than the way we feel. We can't say, I'm too busy. I can't say, I'm too tired. I can't say, I'm too stressed. I can't say, I'm too poor. The lost needs to be found. And we are only a few in 100,000 now. So, friends, let me say, this is our time. This is our watch. This is our generation where we are to do God's bidding and to reach those around us. We need your help. We want this church not to be so much for you. We want this church to be for your family. We want this church to be for your friends and neighbours. All right? So we need to see this. Life is not about me or you. It's about God. Just so you know, as from a leadership point of view, I'm going to take through you. You might think, sort of, you know, pictures are, some people sort of see PowerPoints and think, oh, I'm not sure I'm on board with this because it just takes a bit in. Let me show you how we're going to try to do a strategy of reaching the lost where we need your help. Let's go through this. At the moment, Life Anglican Church, we have our leadership and a fine, godly leadership and talented men and women in our leadership. And we have three centres, three campuses. We're sitting in one tonight, Quakers Hill, and Steve Reimer heads up the Stanhope campus, and Steve Grace heads up the Riverston campus. In total, there are 9 congregations that meet on any given weekend at the moment. And if but that's not enough. We just heard tonight that, hey, wait a minute, we need to grow. This congregation needs to grow, because Jesus is to be worshipped more. But not just this congregation, the many who are building houses out there. So what are we planning? In 2015, this is what our first step of structural change we're going to make. If we can say, go to the next slide. In 2015, we're going to take our 8 o'clock congregation, 8 o'clock Sunday congregation, and move it the Anglican Retirement Village at Stanhope. We might know where that is, where the upside down umbrellas are, and they're building a chapel there, of which we're going to have direction into the spiritual direction of that community, where there's going to be 400 or 500 people living in that retirement village. And we're going to take our 8 o'clock congregation. As we do that, we're going to seek to duplicate our family service here on Sunday morning, have 2 family services. Of course, we see so many families, we're having limited space with car park, and we think we can do a far more effective job by duplicating that family service. So we want to put on an extra service next year. In 2016, we anticipate to have, don't we, Steve, a building built at those upside-down umbrellas right between that and the Stanhope shops. We've got 5 acres. We want to put a first stage of a building there. We've already got a congregation that meets in the leisure centre. We want to bring that into the building and then that new building we're building, And then we want to put two morning services in that building. And some people from this center will come and help us develop the next sort of family services we're building there. You see, we're not here to be comfortable. We're here to be called to arms and do something. So in 2016, that's what we hope to do. What about 2017? Under God, this is what we want to do. We think we might develop another South Sudanese congregation that will go and serve the Lord in Riverston. We're not sure about that one, but there's two major tribes amongst the South Sudanese community, and we think we might take what's called the Lakes community and start a church there. In 2018, under God, we hope to start a Marsden Park church plant. Right now, you go out on Richmond Road, you'll see a whole pile of dust and a new bit of road built, and it's mostly grass and nothing else. In the next month and a half, we hope to buy 5 acres out there where we can put a church in maybe 6 years' time, but we'll put a plant in 2018, where we're going to actually take some people again from the mother church, if you like, here, and go and plant leadership and a core group and ask other people from other churches to come and join us to plant a new congregation there. All right? And so there's going to be 31,000 people live in Marsden Park. Okay, 2018, if we grow a bit more in our Filipino congregation, we want to develop another Filipino congregation off-site somewhere where it's most strategic. 2019, with God's help, what have we got? No, we've just jumped to 2025, have we? Oh, no. Okay. Well, 2025, we hope to move our Riverston church. We already have a Riverston church, but we bought 6 acres late last year, where we're going to build a larger church. There's going to be 60,000 people living in Riverston, and the church property we have there is inadequate for that number of people. So that's what we're doing under God, a structure. So, you know, it's a bold thing to do. But tonight, friends, I want to call you to arms. Tonight I want you, God wants you to step up. Step up and do something. Step up. Tonight, God wants you to be committed to Him and make a difference for Him in the little time that you have left here on this planet. So I'm saying to you, you might be young, don't waste your time. You might be not so young, don't waste your time. We can do something really positive for God and others. And friends, we're not to be unfocused here. We need to see our calling. We need to see the vision. We need to be committed. Committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Committed with all of our life, our time, our resources, our talents. Friends, we need to be focused on this. So let me conclude. We're looking this year at each one, reach one. So let me put the charge to us in three things. In the name of Jesus Christ, reach out to another Christian. In the name of Jesus Christ, reach out to another Christian to help them. Maybe there's someone here in this congregation. Maybe you know of a Christian who needs to come to church and be connected. Reach out to them. Support them. Walk with them in the hard parts of their life. Reach out and nurture them in their faith. For in the name of Jesus Christ, for another Christian, pray for them. They need it. And so do you. The second thing, in the name of Christ, make a difference in someone else's life and help them. It could be a simple thing of a phone call or a kind word or fixing someone's computer or socializing with them or lending them a hand or or with lending them some money or your time or advice or attention. But we can help others around us. And the third thing, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, bring Jesus to them, if you like, or bring them to Jesus for those who have not yet come to know Christ. Friends, I want to charge you tonight to be proactive, to be committed, to take initiatives. How do we do that? Tell them your story. Tell them what Jesus means to you. Tell them what you did on the weekend. Watch the footy with them. Get them to join the family, the Clash of Clans family. Take them with you to watch a movie with some friends on Saturday night. Pray for them. Invite them, of course, to church, or invite them to youth life. Friends, we are so wanting to give God's glory as a community. We want as many people as possible to join us and to join God's family. So my charge to us tonight is, go out from here. In God's strength, go and make a difference. Invite a brother, like Andrew did to Simon Peter. Invite a neighbor or friend, like Philip did for Nathaniel. And each one of us can reach others in the name of Christ. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we know that you call us to follow you in all of our life. And Lord, some of us tonight have done that long ago and have continued throughout all our lives. Also, Lord, help us to be people like Andrew and Philip, who saw his calling to follow you and invited his brother or friend to come and see. Help us in our invitations that we extend to our own family and friends about you. And Lord God, we look to you tonight. Help us to grow your kingdom and each one reach one. Help this Sunday night church to grow and to grow and to grow so that the lost can be found and that Jesus gets all the praise and glory. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
During this next song, we have an opportunity to give thanks to God and worship Him with our money. As the bags come around, feel free. If you give it online or if you're a guest, feel free to pass it along. Please stand and sing.